Gracious God, we pray that you would speak to us today, that you would encourage us, that you would remind us, that you would help us become more aware of your presence in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you are the good shepherd, and we look to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. As we get started with this sermon this morning, I'm going to ask for some of your help. We need to try and figure out an introduction for the sermon today. I was trying, nothing came to mind, and so I need your help to find a way into this sermon to kind of bring us all together at the same time, in the same place, so that we can all focus together on where we're going. To help you out, I'm going to tell you ahead of time, you'll need this, what the sermon's about. So among other things, we're going to be talking about fear, trust, feeling alone, acting courageously, living faithfully, all the while knowing God's presence. So I wonder if anyone can think of some topic or story or news article that connects all of those things together. Maybe something relevant, I don't know, maybe even urgent would be helpful. Some way we could get all on the same page before we get to our passage. Something that maybe we're a little afraid of, that would cause us to separate from each other. But a place where faith and trust would actually be really helpful as well, where you could kind of put those in. Now, not to make this more difficult, I mean, these are the things pastors think about, but we have to acknowledge some people listen to these sermons online, via podcast, or just over the internet, so it would be good if you could come up with something that was also a little bit more general, a little bit more global in nature, while also being very specific to the here and now of all the people in the room. If only there was something to talk about that, you know, makes us a little bit fearful and brings us away from community. That would be helpful. Anyone? Nothing? No? Okay. Yeah, I couldn't either. We're just going to jump in and kind of go from there. If you've been with us throughout Lent, you know that we have been consistently talking about Psalm 23, probably one of the best known passages in all of Scripture. But when something becomes this familiar, it also has a tendency to lose some of its depth and some of its meaning. And so throughout Lent, we're taking this psalm phrase by phrase and adding some flavor and history and context back into the passage to kind of restore it back to life. More than that, I'm also hoping that really is. As this 3,000-year-old song still cuts through all the noise and clutter and speaks to us with particular relevance and clarity even today. And so with that, we're going to read together Psalm 23. You can stay seated for this, but let's all read Psalm 23. Green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Today, we're going to be looking at that phrase right in the middle of the psalm. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. As a pastor, it becomes scary and amazing when a passage lines up that well with what's happening in our community and our world, even when you've started it many weeks ago, but there it is. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I think that this is the part of this psalm that makes the psalm so popular and potent. The rest of the psalm is nice. It's happy. It's pretty, even sort of quaint, maybe a little old-fashioned. But what really gives this psalm its depth and its power is that it goes dark right there in the center. There's something about the middle part, this low part, that makes the rest of the psalm reassuring and even restorative. Because clearly the psalmist has experienced some of the same darkness that some of us experience. It's almost like we sometimes need the dark to learn to love and value the light. It's almost like we sometimes need some low points to reach higher heights. It's almost like we need some hard things to know that living life well matters. So let's dig deeper. Because this part of the psalm also may be better than you would ever think and less understood. And maybe we can arrive at some of these insights by simply asking the question, what is this valley of the shadow of death? And what do we learn while we're there? How did our sheep end up in the valley of the shadow of death to begin with? Because that seems like an odd place to put sheep. And then finally, why would these sheep be unafraid? And we'll start with the valley of the shadow. But we actually probably need to start more with the shadow than more with just night, with darkness. Because there's a lot that can happen to sheep when the sun goes down. All day long, you may be out watching your sheep, leading your sheep, guiding your sheep. They're eating, they're drinking, they're doing what sheep do. But at night, you hope to come home because things get scarier at night. There are predators, there are dangers, there are thieves. And you're tired and you can't see quite so well. So before we get into this at all, we need to recognize simply that darkness brings with it all manner of risk and peril. And then sometimes it gets darker still. In our passage, it's called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. Other translations may say the Valley of Thick Darkness, the Valley of Deadly Darkness, the Valley of Deepest Gloom. The word in the Hebrew is mispronounced Samavet. It can be translated deep shadow, black gloom, shadow of death, or thick darkness. In other words, this isn't just turning the lights off. This is when the darkness begins to become oppressive, heavy, when it starts to press in. This is waking up from a nightmare in the middle of the night and you're turned around where your pillow's not where you don't know, and the power's out. So it's pitch black and you're discombobulated and you just don't know what's happening nor where you are. We're in the valley of that feeling. Now, sometimes these valleys are simply what we talked about 2 weeks ago as we talked about the deep ravines and canyons that fill the pasture land where these sheep normally are. On the one hand, this is where the water is, the vegetation is, and there's even a little bit of shade for the sun. So they're, in some ways, very wonderful places for sheep. On the other hand, those high canyon walls make the sun disappear very quickly. This is also where predators prowl, where flash floods flow, and where rocks fall, not to mention all the other hazards that come with it. In other words, these valleys of darkness are not safe places, and yet they also seem to occur with great regularity. Because sometimes life just gets dark. Sometimes things just go wrong. Sometimes the story doesn't seem to end up happily ever after. The darkness brings with it the unknown, and we fear what we don't understand. Quite specifically, this is part of why there's so much fear going around right now, because we simply don't know. We don't know what this is or what it'll become. We don't know how long this will last. We don't know how this will change things. We don't know how it will affect us or our loved ones, or our community, or our world. Darkness brings uncertainty, and uncertainty makes us afraid. Now, what's particularly interesting about our psalm at this point is that there's a shift in perspective right in this part of the psalm. The psalm starts with, "The Lord is my shepherd," and he does this, and he does that, and he does these other things as well. And then today it turns. It goes from me and mine to I will walk. I will not be afraid. And the perspective of the shepherd changes as well. It's been, he does this and he does that, and suddenly it's you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare it. Suddenly, the shepherd who was far now seems to be near. Suddenly, the sheep was kind of bragging about, I have this shepherd. He's fantastic. The Lord is my shepherd. And he's kind of doing it just as I'm telling you about my shepherd. And then he gets into the valley of the shadow. And he turns. Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There's a shift that happens in this part of the psalm, as if the sheep are suddenly doing a better job looking towards their shepherd. Last week, we talked about how the shepherds sometimes lead from the front, sometimes they lead from behind. In this part of the psalm, it seems like the shepherd is now in the midst of the sheep. Imagine that, even in the darkness, even when we feel uncertain, he is with us, and we can look towards him. But with all that said, we still need to back up for a minute because this still doesn't really answer the question, why are we here? I mean, the darkness comes when the sun goes down, but why would you be in the valley of the shadow of death? That seems like an obvious place to avoid. It's called the valley of the shadow of death. There's an arrow this way home. There's an arrow this way, valley of the shadow of death. Doesn't take a great shepherd to know the difference. Did you take a wrong turn? Is that how you ended up in the valley of the shadow of death? Why do you go there how did you get here? And from our passage, you'll notice that the sheep's fear and frustration don't seem to be due to normal sheep disobedience or distraction or delay. But the reason for being in this particular valley is that maybe they were led there. Maybe they are being led through this valley of the shadow of death. Despite the darkness, despite the dangers, maybe they're learning to follow. One of the challenges of shepherding sheep is keeping them fed, because they eat a lot. And like we talked about a couple weeks ago, sheep will eat to the point where there's no vegetation left. Because of the way their teeth are, they can actually get all of the grass out, and then the grass won't necessarily grow back again. So you have to kind of constantly keep sheep on the move. Interestingly, that also has the added benefit of helping them have different vitamins and nutrients from all the different plants they eat along the way. So it's best to keep them moving all the time. Well, as you can imagine, if sheep stay in the same field for too long, they'll eat everything. And so both in the east and in the west, shepherds will leave home and lead their sheep into the hills starting in the springtime. As the snow recedes up the hills, the shepherds will take their sheep up as well. They will leave home and head toward the heights for a whole season. And then they'll spend the whole summer up in those hills. And then they'll return back home as the snow starts to fall again. And hopefully by then their grasses at home have regrown so the sheep will be able to survive the winter months. Interestingly, we see some of this flow even in Psalm 23. We start in the summer, in the hills, in the fields, in the folds, in the quiet waters, leads me beside quiet waters, restores my soul. It's wonderful up in the hills in the summertime. And then at the end of the psalm, we're back home. I'll be with the Lord forever. So how do we get from there to here? Well, sometimes, apparently, you have to go through the valleys. You see, in order to get the sheep from up in the hills to back home, or from home back to the hills, the shepherd has to lead the sheep through the valleys. In other words, the reason that we're in these canyons in the first place is that we have been led there. This is part of our journey. Our shepherd is leading us through the valley in order to go somewhere else. The valley of the shadow of death is not the destination. It's simply a part of the journey. But this also means that this wasn't a surprise. This wasn't because we wandered off. This wasn't because the shepherd didn't know it was there. Instead, sometimes the shepherd leads us to and through darker places to get to better places. Even when it's dark. Even when it's dangerous. Interestingly, when I was reading the book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, the author makes the point that sometimes as Christians, we like that metaphor of being up on the mountain with God. If you've ever went on a good Christian retreat or had just kind of a deeper experience of faith, we talk about that as being up on the mountain with God. And there's just less distraction there, and you're just there with God up on the mountain. And the author kind of makes the point of somehow we kind of just have this feeling like we just kind of float up there and then we're there and then we have to come back down. But maybe sometimes we are led down into and through the valleys in order to get to those higher heights. Maybe sometimes we have to go through the valley of darkness, through the valley of despair, through the valley of desperation, in order to reach those higher heights. What's also interesting is that some of the richest feed and best forage is sometimes found in those same valleys. And don't get me wrong, this isn't a good reason to go there. This doesn't make us want to be in the valley. This doesn't make the valley safe. But maybe sometimes the shepherd knows what he's doing. It strikes me that in many ways, these summer journeys, including the parts through the valleys and shadows, are some of the most intimate times that the sheep experience with their shepherds. When it's just the sheep and the shepherds up in the hills together. It's along these journeys and during these times when we really see the close communion and companionship and affection that develops between the sheep and their shepherd. It's during these times that we really learn how to follow. And this is why the sheep and the psalmist recognize that they are not afraid, because their shepherd is with them. It's important that we recognize just how important this is, how it drives out fear. Because the reality is that this is one of the few ways that really fear can be defeated. There aren't that many ways. And we've talked a couple months ago now, I think, of how courage is really doing what you need to do despite the fear. You don't get rid of fear, you just move through fear. But strangely, being with actually can remove fear. You see, darkness makes us feel afraid because it makes us feel alone. And everything is more frightening when you're alone, when you're cut off, when you're separated. Quite frankly, this may be the most insidious part of what's happening right now. That feeling of separation, that feeling of isolation, that feeling of distance. And just to be very, very clear, it's not that being alone is bad. Quite frankly, it's probably the right thing to do right now. Quite frankly, with it being Lent, that's actually, I think, one of the spiritual disciplines that I told you about a couple weeks ago. I've been ahead of this virus thing long before it was in the world. So it's called solitude. It's a wonderful thing. But it's the feeling of being alone that does damage. And that difference is everything. It's one thing to be alone, which can be a good thing and even a healthy thing, but to feel alone can feel terrifying and debilitating. Which is also why maybe one of the largest ministries we can be doing these days is picking up a phone and calling, sending an email, sending a text, helping people know that they're not alone. And in the process, maybe we won't feel quite so alone either. Darkness makes us feel alone. And that's dangerous. But we have a good shepherd who is with us. We know we are never alone because our good shepherd is with us through the valley of the shadow of death. I want to take this point one step further. And to do that, I want to kind of shift in our Bible to a whole nother section and read one other passage, and then I want us to talk about it, and then we'll put a bow on the whole thing. The other passage that I want to read is from the Gospel, it won't be on the screens, but it's on the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. This is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, and Jesus says some strange things about sheep and shepherds. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Just one or two comments. As much as sheep have been shown in a rather not the best light throughout this series thus far, there is one important trait that they share that we could learn from. Sheep recognize their shepherd's voice, and they follow it. In the Middle East, I've heard that often sheep will be led into kind of open pens. So think it goes kind of a fence that goes all the way around and then just stops. And there's kind of this big gap on one end. And groups of shepherds will bring all of their flocks into these pens for the night. And then the shepherds will lay down at the entrance and kind of form a gate, as it were. And all the sheep mix and mingle for the night. In the morning, the shepherd will get up and wake up, and then they'll call their sheep. And remember, they're all mixed together. There's a whole bunch of different sheep in there. They're all mixed together, and the shepherd will call their sheep, and their sheep will hear their shepherd, and they will come out. And all the sheep that aren't theirs won't, because the called sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd, and they follow. When at home, when in the hills, and when in the valleys of the shadow of death, the sheep look to and listen toward their shepherd. And then they aren't afraid. And here we also find out why. Part of the reason is because the shepherd is with them. But maybe more than that, it's because the good shepherd lays down their life for the sheep. The sheep know that they can fully trust their shepherd because the shepherd would sacrifice anything for their sheep. I wonder if there is a way for us during this time to learn. I wonder if there are some ways for us to follow wherever he leads better. And as we do, I wonder if we will fear less evil because he's with us. Let's pray. Lord God, we look towards you. We follow you and we trust you because you are the good shepherd, because you are with us, because you are leading us. Lord, we thank you for your continued faithfulness. We thank you for the ways that you are at work in our world in ways we can't even see. Lord, we acknowledge that we are afraid. We acknowledge we don't know what's going to happen. We acknowledge that we don't know the way. But even then, we know that you are with us. Lord, help us be more aware of your presence. Help us turn our face toward you, that we might follow where you lead, as we trust you today and always. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.